Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome to the Journey Home Outreach Ministries online radio shows. This is the edition of Minister, Associate Pastor, Minister Kimberly Horvath, who's going to be bringing the word and her Christian life coaching a little bit later in the show. I just wanted to let everybody know that we appreciate all the support that you've been giving us over the years. The Journey Home Outreach Ministries is so blessed to have people who listen live and those who listen later come into our hearts and come into our minds and allow us to commune and worship in spirit and truth with you over the internet. We're an internet-only ministry. If you haven't had a chance, please visit our website at www.journeyhomeministries.org. That's www.journeyhomeministries.org. There you'll find many resources. You'll find Christian life coaching. You'll also find Bible study. You will also find our youth program. You'll find sermons that I have done. With my sermons, I also incorporate Christian music and gospel house music within my shows. And then you have a gospel house mix called the House of Inspiration. And so those are the many shows that we have to offer. And I see that Ms. Pastor Horvath is on, so let me switch to her right now. Hello, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing?
I am doing wonderful. Just telling everyone about all the different shows that we have.
Yes, we have a lot of them.
Yes.
We've grown.
We have grown. We have sprouted our wings and flew and soar. So, yes.
That's fantastic.
With that. Yeah, well, I have been excited. You know, I always get excited this time of month to see what God has said to you and has been working with you. So I'm going to give you the floor and let you get started. Because I can't wait to hear
awesome.
What you have to
Thank
say.
You.
Yes.
Thank you so much. You know, when we were talking the other night, and you were asking me, what's the title? I'm like, I don't know. But, you know, I should have known that I did know because he had started working with me on a theme. And, you know, we're still in the midst of the Lenten season, only, about a week away from Easter.
Right.
You know, what are we, like 7 days away or 6 days away from Good Friday? And
right.
We are in the midst of a very holy time for Christian people. And I think that it's important for Christian folks to really pay attention to this time period. You know, let's not just go through it like it's regular every day, you know, same old, same old.
Right.
This is one of those holidays that while they try to commercialize it, at the end of the day, it is about the fact that our Savior died and that he rose again. And so
right.
I really want to talk today about how the fact that he lives should affect our life. That's
Amen.
What I want to talk about today, how the fact that Jesus lives should affect our life. You know, we are so blessed. You know, as
mm-hmm.
I was just, you know, meditating on just the concept, he lives. You know, our Savior may have died, but he rose again. We do not serve a Savior that is dead.
Right.
Right?
Right. That is
and many
very
times
true.
When we think of our Savior, we think of him as being on the cross. And I'm going to
mm-hmm.
say, well, that, you know, okay, that could be a good way to look at him. But I say, don't look at him on the cross and his pain and his suffering and all of that. Look at the fact that he actually rose from the dead and he lives and he's whole.
Mm-hmm.
He's whole. He's complete. He's victorious. He has all power. And he is right in heaven at the right hand of our Father, interceding on our behalf. And he's saying to his Father, yes, that one's mine, and that one's mine, and that one's
yes.
mine. And he's naming us all because his Father told him that not one that was his would ever be taken away.
Not one.
Oh, my God. Just that thought alone. When you know that you are his, you already know God has promised him that he will never have any of his taken away. If you belong to Jesus, you are saved through and through, and there is nothing that anyone or anything can do about it.
Exactly. Absolutely.
You can't even mess it up yourself.
No, no. He has orchestrated it that way.
Yes.
That's why
you
we need
saving.
You
can't mess it up yourself, because whatever it is that you lack, wherever you are lacking in your life, Christ has already paid the ransom, the cost, the price, the penalty, the penance, whatever word you want to use, Christ has already paid for that.
Uh-huh.
See, many people are concerned about people getting that revelation because they feel that when people get that revelation, that their sins really are already forgiven and that their sins have already been paid for, that people will just run amok. And I say it's not true. I
no.
say that when you understand that your sins are already forgiven and that they've already been paid for, it makes you feel obligated to live
yes.
your life a little bit differently. It makes you feel compelled to try a little harder. It doesn't mean that you're always going to get it right, but you have a different perspective, and you have a different level of respect for the life that you're living, and you don't do things as casually as you used to.
Absolutely.
It doesn't come as easy for you to do the wrong thing or say the wrong thing or behave
mm-hmm.
the wrong way. It doesn't come as easy as that anymore. And
mm-hmm.
so I disagree wholeheartedly with people who say it'll make people run amok. If it makes people run amok, it's either there's only one of two things going on there, in my opinion. Number
mm-hmm.
one, they're either not saved.
Right.
Number two, they lack maturity.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of the two.
Yeah, it's one of the two.
It's just one of the two. And I say, don't judge, just pray.
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Which
now,
that's what I was instructed to do.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, so the fact that Jesus lives means that we have the right to live like we are free.
Mm-hmm.
See, there are so many of us who walk around with all these heavy weights on our shoulders, you know, and I'm really talking about some heavy stuff. Many people are burdened in their minds, hearts, and spirits with stuff. A lot of it is religious stuff that they've been taught about all the things that you can't do or can't believe or can't say, you know, can't enjoy as a result of being saved.
Right.
And I'm going to say, do as they say in the Bible. Lay aside every weight. Put aside those weights. Allow God to instruct you on the truth of his word.
There it is.
All right?
There it is.
Allow
mm-hmm.
God to instruct you on the truth of his word. When someone tells you something, especially if you feel, you know, they're telling you something from a spiritual standpoint, and something within you says, that doesn't feel right, then I say, test that word. Go find out about it. Study about it. Look it up online. Talk to other people you know. Pray to God about it. Ask him to give you the revelation, because there is a truth there that needs to be unfolded for you.
Yes.
Don't just accept a word that you feel isn't right. Don't ever do that.
No.
Now,
no.
If you feel it's right, I don't really know what to tell you about that. If you feel it's right, then it is what it is. But if you're not sure, if that thing feels heavy, like a weight that you're carrying, you need to do some more study about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to learn the truth of his word.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about, how do we live with knowing that we have a Savior that lives? How can we be more alive? How can we live in freedom? Well, that's one of the ways you do that, by knowing the truth of the word. When you know the truth, the Bible says that the truth will set you free.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, it
and,
will. Yes,
and the
yeah.
reality is that when lies are what holds you in bondage.
Yes.
But
lies
truth will always set you free. I mean,
it
truth
will.
Is the truth. And if you don't like that particular truth, then change it. What do I mean by that? You know, I was teaching a class not long ago to some people who are aspiring to be leaders at work. And I
okay.
talked about how leadership is a characteristic. It is not just a title that you assume. And I began to talk about how, you know, there are things that we know about ourselves that nobody knows, but there are also things that other people know about us that we can't see.
Uh-huh.
And the most important thing for us to do as people in general is to know the truth of ourselves. And whatever it might be, good, bad, or indifferent. And if there is anything about you that is true, that you don't particularly like, then change that truth.
Exactly.
Change it.
Exactly.
So if you find that there's, you know, a behavior about yourself that you don't really like, and that happens to be true of you, then change it. If you're always late places and you don't like that truth about you, change it. If you don't tell the truth as often as you would like to and you don't like that about you, change it. If you feel that you are more judgmental toward people than what you really should be and that is the truth about you, change it. Truth sets you free.
Yes.
But you have to know the truth in order for it to set you free. Okay?
And you
now, when it comes to God's word, you can't change his word.
No. You can't change
his word. Will set you free. It comes to emancipate us.
Yes.
And Jesus was his word.
He said the word became
life. And he came
life.
To emancipate us. He came to set the captives free. Right? Let's talk for a moment. What was the whole purpose in Jesus coming? To reconcile us back to God. To make us the way we were spiritually when Adam was here before the fall, before he sinned.
Yeah.
All right? So what was that? Because there was a major purpose in the cross, and that was it, to put us back into right relationship with God. So what was that relationship that Adam and Eve had with God? Here's what one of the things I know. That they did not know good and evil. They only knew good.
No. They only knew good.
They only knew good. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine what it's like to only know good in your life?
Oh, wow.
You know, I really want people to think about that for a moment.
Yeah.
God, because remember, he came to bring us back into right standing and to bring us back to where we were before sin. And Adam and Eve did not know sin. They did not know or understand evil. They only knew good.
Yeah,
imagine if you could, you know, we might be born into sin, but we could live in a way where we know good. We're good constantly. It just knocks us over all the time.
Wow.
The word says, his goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. His goodness and mercy. It's gonna surround us, it's gonna make room for us, it's gonna open doors for us that need to be opened, close doors that need to be closed. It's gonna cause his blessings, his anointing, his power, his love to just overtake us. We say that God is love.
And
right?
That's what it means. Yes. We do. We do.
we say that God is love. So
all the time.
We to be back in right standing also means to have that innocence. You know, Adam and Eve had an innocence about them because they didn't understand evil. So they had a pure trust and a belief in God. They did not doubt him.
No, not for a moment.
They didn't know
not
how to
anything.
Doubt him.
No.
See, doubt comes from sin. They didn't know how to doubt him, so they completely trusted him. It's just like a baby when a baby is born and being taken care of, right? They have complete trust. They don't know not to trust, and that's how they were with God. Imagine our lives if we could have complete trust in God, if we never doubted. If
we
didn't doubt,
our life would overflow.
Yes. Yeah. Imagine, you know, like there are a lot of people right now that are looking to God for certain things to happen in their lives. And they're saying, if it be thy will. Okay, well, as a Christian, you don't know?
It is his will.
If it's good, it's his will.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean,
right.
A Christian
right.
shouldn't be What's praying it? To kill somebody.
No.
A Christian shouldn't be praying, help me rob this
right.
bank.
Right, exactly.
You know, shouldn't
exactly.
be praying those
right.
kind of things. You know, so if it be thy will, I'm sick in my body. I have cancer. I have this. I have that. If it be your will, please heal me. Really?
No, he's a healer.
So you're not really trusting and believing that you're going to have the healing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's because our thought process is off. Imagine if our thought processes just weren't off. The other thing is, Adam and Eve, because they didn't have that sin filter, so things
mm-hmm.
happened for them immediately. See, we have a sin filter. Things don't happen for us immediately. And you
no.
know what? Thank God.
Yes.
Thank God. You know, that was a blessing. But they didn't have any of that. So things happened for them much faster than they happened for us.
Right.
Okay? So the other thing about Jesus living is that because he lives, because he died for us, paid the price and all of that, and he is living, we have now become the righteousness of God.
Yes.
And the Bible tells us that. Not
mm-hmm.
that we can have his righteousness, but that we have
yeah.
become his righteousness.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
I want people to really think about that for a moment, because that right there is powerful. We're not trying to get to righteousness.
I'm with
right?
you.
Right? We're not trying to get there. We are it. Okay? Now, I looked up righteousness, and it says, acting in an upright, moral way, to be virtuous, to be morally right,
right,
be justified. Right? Adam and Eve were morally right. They didn't have any sin nature.
Right.
But God says, you know what? Because of Jesus, you have now become my righteousness once again.
Mm-hmm.
You are now, we have the mindset to be morally right. We
Absolutely.
Have the mindset to do the right thing. That's our first nature now. We still
mm-hmm.
know the difference between right and wrong and morally right and morally wrong because we're still born into sin. But now our first nature is not to do wrong but to do right because we've become his righteousness. So how does it affect you in your everyday life? You should be thinking about things a little bit differently. Within your heart, when
mm-hmm.
something's not right, you know that something's not right, and you're compelled to do something differently. Don't
right.
just be compelled. Do it.
Right.
Yeah, don't just be compelled. Do it. Live your life as
yeah.
if he lives.
Yeah, exactly. Don't get stuck.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another thing when you think about the life of Adam and Eve is that they communicated directly with God.
Mm-hmm.
Directly.
Yes.
They didn't go through
directly.
Anyone else.
No.
Jesus was the same way. Moses, Abraham, they were the same way. They communicated directly with God. Now, there are many people who feel that they can't communicate directly with God. Or maybe there are times when they need someone else to communicate for them. There are many people, first of all, there are religions that make people believe that they are not the ones that are able to go boldly to the throne of grace, but that's what our Bible tells us, right?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Right? And now there are many people who feel that they have to go through their pastor.
No, no.
Many
that's,
people believe that.
I know a lot of people believe that.
Yeah.
They feel they need to be covered by someone. And it's that's so far from the truth that it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, many people, they feel, you know, that's why they, you know, something goes wrong and they're calling the pastor to come and pray. And, you know, the pastor is human. The pastor can have 10,000 things to do and may not get there in the time that you want him to get there. And then you're mad. But you know what? You don't need to wait for the pastor. You can talk to God yourself. And know that Jesus is right there interceding on your behalf. So you're not even alone.
If people don't understand, when it says in the Bible that Jesus is your witness, that's, I mean, you think of a court of law, what you need a witness for. A witness is there to give credibility to what you are saying. So he's our witness to God. He's there to give our desires creed, something solid.
And here's the other thing, is, and I think that maybe sometimes people do have this concern. I believe the Holy Spirit is bringing this to me, is that oftentimes when we think about Jesus, sometimes people think about him, you know, in the godly manner, and sometimes people think about him just as man. And so they don't realize that part of his new nature, see, when he was here on earth, he could only be at one place at one time. But because he left and he now exists with God, he can be anywhere he needs to be at any given time. So you don't have to worry about the fact that he's next door, because while he's next door, he can also be with you. And the other thing is that Jesus said that he had to leave so that the Comforter would come. Okay? And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit, our counselor, our advocate, the one who's going to be telling us, you know, go this way, do this. Here's the information that you need. You know, that's the Holy Spirit, our friend, who knows the truth and brings, as the Bible says, brings us into all truth. So there's no reason for us to be in the dark about anything if we're communicating with the triune God.
And that's the key. If we're communicating,
have
to communicate. You have to communicate. You know,
you definitely have to communicate, and it's not. And that communication is two way. It's not just us saying and talking and pleading and crying. It's not just that. It is also the time that you take to be still and know that He is God. To be still and to just listen. To be still and just meditate and meditate on his word, to not always be busy, but to be able to hear him and also to begin to understand, how does God talk to me? What clues does he give me that this is what I'm supposed to be doing? God knows that we need tangible evidence. He knows that, and he gives it to us.
Yes, he does.
Okay, so this is the way we should be living now that we know that he lives. It is okay that we look for the tangible evidence, because when God tells you something, he's going to confirm that thing that he tells you. He's not going to leave us wondering, is this really what you wanted? You're going to know it in your heart. You're going to know it in your mind. And you, if you need it to be tangible, God, I really need you to know. I need to know for sure. He'll make that happen. How many times did you believe that God was telling you to do something and then somebody come right around and say something to you about that very thing?
You're right. And you're like, confirmation. Oh, my God.
Confirmation. Exactly.
Confirmation.
How many times did that happen? You know, one of the things, though, I can say that as Christians, we are so critical of so many things. And it's funny, because if a friend comes to you and gives you a word that's confirmation, it's fine. But if someone who calls himself a prophet comes to you and gives you a word, you're skeptical. And we need to get those things straight, because all those things are gifts in the body. Don't say that they were only for yesterday. They're for now. Pastors, prophets, teachers, evangelists, all of those people in the body are for now.
He said, I called you out to be these things.
Absolutely.
He said it right there in the body. I've called you out to be prophets, evangelists. Your sons and daughters will, you know, read dreams.
Will prophesy. Absolutely.
Prophesy. Ah, go ahead. Go ahead.
But I think that it's so important, because, you know, we take pieces of the word, and then other pieces we don't take it. And that's because we have not yet understood the full truth. And so instead of saying no, you see it right there. You can read it. Don't say it was for yesterday. The Bible tells us that everything in the Bible is profitable and for our good. So don't say that that was for yesterday. How does that being for yesterday help you today?
Especially since he's the present God.
Exactly.
He only operates in the present. The word says that he doesn't change. Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, and today, and forever.
So, his word.
So if there were prophets then there are going to be prophets now. Now, here's one thing I will tell you. I believe that a prophet should confirm a word.
Mm-hmm.
And if a prophet is telling you something that hasn't happened before, ask God to confirm it. If it's a conversation that seems to be new to you, ask God to confirm it. Don't just dismiss it as not being true.
No.
Because God also said that he teaches precept upon precept. What does that mean? It means layer upon layer, a piece of wisdom upon a piece of wisdom, one revelation upon another. He can't just give us everything all at once. It would knock our brains out of our heads.
Yes,
right?
It would drive us crazy.
He teaches you something, and here's how that works. Everyone who has studied the Bible, even just a few days, knows this. You read a scripture, you get an understanding of that scripture. A week later, you go back and read the exact same scripture, and you get yet a broader revelation. You're like, wow, how come I didn't see that a week ago? Because you couldn't have handled it a week ago.
Exactly.
And then you go back a few weeks later, and you read that same scripture, and yet you get another revelation. This is the reason why we call it a living word. This is the reason why we call it a living word. Because the word is living. The word is Jesus. Right? So communicating.
Yes.
It's so important that we communicate. And part of that communicating, you know, is no different than you and I communicate, than people communicate with each other. You have to also listen. And really, it's more important to listen in communicating than anything else. Everybody wants to talk and everyone wants to be heard. But not very many people want to listen. So
right.
You really need to get that whole listening thing intact.
Down.
Yes.
And I want to share something.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I just said when it comes to listening, you have to get somewhere because God and our Savior does not yell. So
no.
You have to get in a quiet place. They won't spend their time yelling at you trying to get your attention.
No.
No, they won't. So if you never get in a quiet place, you'll never hear God. If you never allow yourself to be that, you won't.
That's true. What I wanted to share was how I began learning how God speaks to me. And over the years, I'm going to say to you that God plays kind of like a hide-and-seek game almost. Because he'll get you to understand that he's speaking to you. But in order to continue to have you to mature and to grow up, he'll stop speaking to you the way you're used to. And you're going to feel like, oh, my goodness, like, what did I do? Why are you abandoning me? Why are you not talking to me? And it's not that. It's just that he's speaking to you in a different way. And he wants you to seek him. Because the word says, if you will ask, seek, knock, that he's going to be there, right? So he wants you to seek him in that other direction. So it's no different than, you know, when our children are learning how to talk. Now, some parents will not speak to their children in full-blown sentences, and some parents do. But some parents speak to them in baby talk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then as they get a little bit older, you start speaking in words. And then as they get a little bit older, then you start speaking in sentences. It's the same thing with God. He'll speak in one way, and you get it, you know? And as soon as you feel, I've got this thing down, he switches up on you. Why? Because he wants you to know there's more.
There's more.
So I remember going through a period of time where, you know, there was a particular way that God would talk to me, and I would need to get quiet, and, you know, there was really, you know, a quiet space and all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, God switched gears and stopped talking to me in the quiet. And he directed me to get around a lot of noise.
Okay.
I thought that was crazy. But you know what he taught me? He taught me how, in the midst of all kinds of chaos and confusion, in the midst of all kinds of noise, to go within myself and hear him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was important.
To your heart.
Because it was important to know that I didn't have to have certain outward conditions going on in order for me to hear an inward God.
Mm-hmm.
See, he resides within us. I'm going to tell you where that paid off in a huge way for me. 9/11.
Oh.
I was one of the people that was standing in the middle of the West Side Highway as the tower fell.
Wow.
And I was one of those people that was running for my life in New York
mm-hmm.
as the tower fell. And when I got to the edge of Battery Park, where, you know, all there is the water and the Hudson River and the
mm-hmm.
land that you're on, and there's nothing that you could do, I was in a position where, with all this chaos around me and the inability to see because of the dust from the and debris from the building, I had to go inward and hear God in order to be able to get off of New York City and get to safety.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Had I not learned how to go inward, I don't know that I would have heard him.
Right.
And I could have been stranded there for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God does things in perfect order for you, and he does them because he wants you to fully be able to engage and to know him in spirit and in truth, so that any time you need him, you can have 100% access.
Right. 100%
access.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, remember, that as Christian people, that's not just for us, but it's for us to be able to move in service for others.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
So here's another thing that we can be mindful of and help us to live differently because Jesus lives. We need to know that we are free from God's persecution. We are free from his wrath. We are free from his judgment. There are so many people being taught that they are going to be judged by God, that God is going, his wrath is going to come after them. That is not true. If you are a Christian, if you have accepted Christ as Savior, when God looks at you, all he sees is the blood of Jesus covering you. He is not angry with you. He is not after you. He is not judging you. He loves you, and he wants to protect you because all he sees is Jesus. That's all he sees. Now, I want people to begin to think, if you walked around with that level of confidence, how different would your life be?
Yes. Oh, that is so powerful.
I want people
powerful.
To have a Selah on that for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, really, if you walked around believing that when God looked at you, all he saw was Jesus, how different would your life be? How much more confidence. I mean, really, take that in. How much more confidence? How much more joy? How much less worry? A lot of our stuff comes from the fact that we worry. How much less worry? You know, when you're worried about something, imagine if you could just stop yourself for a moment and say, wait a minute. God sees me as Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
What do I do with
that
in this situation?
Yes.
You know?
What
do I do with that? Because I know if he sees me as Jesus, this is all going to work out okay.
Yes. Everything. You can't fail.
You cannot
fail.
Can you imagine walking around knowing you can't fail?
You can't fail. Wow. You know. And for some people, I know that's a scary thought because they're afraid of, you know. But it's you need to incorporate all of the Trinity and get back to the Comforter, who will help soothe those fears that you have. And, you know, like you stroke a baby, you know, just give them that reassurance that it's going to be okay. But you
can't.
Well, you
know, you're moving right into the next one, because we have to also remember that because Jesus lives, that we gain wisdom from the Holy Spirit,
right?
The Holy Spirit, you know, we talked about it earlier, knows all things, but we don't know all things.
Mm-hmm.
So if we keep our relationship up with the Holy Spirit and are consistently communicating, then there's not. God says that there's no good thing that He would hold from us.
Oh, hallelujah. Woo!
Right?
This is exciting to me.
We have access. We have the right to information. You know, when we need information on our job about how to get something done, the Holy Spirit knows how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
People forget to bring the Holy Spirit with them at work. They leave them in the car.
Yes.
They leave them in their house. They leave them on the bus. But bring the Holy Spirit with you to work. You know, if there's something that you can't figure out, you just sit for a moment and say, Holy Spirit, I need you to help me. I need you to direct me. I don't know what to do. And He's either going to show you or bring someone in that's going to show you. At the end of the day, the result is that you're going to know what you need to know. And you're going to know it faster than if you try to figure it out for yourself.
Amen. Amen.
I never go to work without the Holy Spirit. I need Him too much. You know, there are people in these jobs that sometimes will be plotting against you. The Holy Spirit will let you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Holy Spirit will say, you know what, you need to make sure that you get this done because they're going to be asking for it real soon.
Right, right.
You know, you need to go back and check that because there's something not right with that.
Mm-hmm. And He will guide you.
The Holy Spirit will do those things for you.
Yes.
You know, and the other thing is, you know, again, I always talk about, you know, the Christian arsenal. You know, bring your arsenal to work with you. Don't fast only about stuff going on in life outside of work. Fast about issues in work. Anoint your office. Anoint your keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
Anoint your chair.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? When there are people bothering you, go in their offices and anoint their offices when you're not when they're not even there. Put anointing oil on your hands and shake people's hands. They don't know. Anoint your office and say, let no evil come past my threshold. And watch who's able to come in and sit there and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Holy Spirit will expose some things.
Yes. It's the light. It's the light. It will shine
absolutely.
Light.
Absolutely. The Holy Spirit will expose some things. And watch how situations turn around. And they turn around so quickly. And it's not even that you dodge a bullet. It's not that. The Holy Spirit is equipping you and preparing you. See, sometimes in our own mind, we might make one thing a priority. And the Holy Spirit will say, no, 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 that shouldn't be the priority. This should be. Do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do, and watch. You'll be ever so grateful that you switch gears as a result of the Holy Spirit.
Right. Okay.
Okay. That is just so important. People, I can't even stress enough how important it is to bring the Holy Spirit and that consciousness to work with you and ask the Holy Spirit, what should I get accomplished today? How should I prioritize this stuff today? What do I do about this situation? I need help about this. Can you show me how to handle that? And just let it go and watch what happens. What happens.
Right?
Here's the other thing that we need to recognize as a result of the fact that He lives. We have what we need. Adam and Eve had everything that they needed.
Yeah, they did.
They didn't want for anything.
It's the way. No.
Okay.
No.
And I want you to look at Jesus' life. Now, they didn't talk a whole lot about money. But I tell you what, He wasn't poor.
No.
They had what
no.
they needed. It talked about how, the people that followed him and the disciples, they had trades, they had things that they did, but they poured their money together so that they would have what they needed.
Right. And
when
and
it came time for him to pay taxes, what did he do?
Right.
He sent them and said, go down there, get this fish, in the mouth of the fish is going to be the money.
Yeah.
And it was.
And there it was. There it was.
What about the story of when he fed the 5,000 men, not including the women and children, with how many fish and how many loaves of bread? I mean, come on, he fed 5,000 people?
Mm-mm.
He had what he needed.
He had what he needed.
And when you look at, now, and I want you to look at something. Look at the people that lived under the law. These are people that were living before the Savior came. These are people that were living knowing that they were going to fail. They would never be able to live up to all the laws that God has said to them. God gave them those laws so that they would know that they needed him. How wealthy were they?
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Solomon, you look at Abraham, you look at Moses, they had money. Think
yes,
about
they
this.
Did.
Moses
yes,
fled they. Egypt. He left there with nothing.
Yes.
You do not see anything about how horribly poor Moses was.
Mm-mm.
About how he was dying of starvation.
Mm-mm.
God met his needs all along the way.
Every need. Every need.
Every need met.
And yet I want everyone to understand that. It's not just some needs. It's not just,
every need.
You know, it's everything that you need, he will supply. He will supply it.
Every.
Yeah.
Can I say every?
Every. We're going to spend the rest of the show
seriously.
Just going every.
How about every? But you know what happens?
Yes.
I really do believe, I think that, again, we lean towards our sin consciousness and we say, you know, yeah, I would like that, but I don't know if God would want me to have it. Because, number one, we're not so sure how we feel about prosperity as Christian people. Okay? So that's one of the reasons why we struggle with that. We struggle with having excess. Now, I don't really know what excess is because I have yet to meet anyone that said they had too much money. Yet to have met anyone that says that. I have yet to have met someone who said, you know what, I need to get rid of some of this money. Do you need some?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
I've not met that. You know, there's always
never.
Something that you can do with regard to money. Money makes life easier.
Mm-hmm.
You could buy a lot of things. It's not going to buy you a place in heaven, but it can buy a lot of things, and it makes life comfortable, and it helps you get things accomplished. It's the currency that we use in our world. It's the currency that
that's
we
right.
use to trade.
Right.
But in the world of the spirit, the currency we use is our faith.
Right.
Okay.
And you have to...
So here's the thing. When you start saying, I don't know if I should have more money, I don't know if I should ask for money, you're not going to get it.
No, not at all.
You're not going to get it. When you want
a
new car and you say, well, I don't really know if God would want to bless me with that, then you're not going to get it.
No.
That's doubt.
No. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the other thing is, as Christians, many of us have difficulty with the idea of want and need, and we feel that we shouldn't be asking for things that we simply want. I don't know.
Well...
where you read that.
No. He said, I'll give you the desires.
It.
No, the desires of your
heart. I recall desires of your heart.
Yeah.
I recall reading that, but I don't recall reading, only ask me for what you want.
Uh-uh.
I recall reading that Jesus said, I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And I recall reading in the Amplified Version where it says, it meant until it overflows, until you have so much, you can't even keep up with how much you have. I also recall reading in Luke 6:38, it says, give and it shall come back to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. If it wasn't meant for you to have excess, why would we receive running over?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very simply, why would we receive running over?
Wow.
So we have an issue with prosperity. And I think that that issue also comes because we're being judgmental. We look at prosperous Christians and we say they don't need to do that. That doesn't take all that. They have no right to have that when other people are poor. No, I disagree completely. The Bible says that the poor will always be with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's going to take people that have more to make sure that those that are poor have what they need.
Yes.
Because that is part of our responsibility. is to make sure that people that have less than us have what they need.
Have to have what they need.
And here's the other thing. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Here's the other thing, is that if your mindset is a mindset that says, you know, well, I feel good about me because I know that there are other people that have worse situations than I do, there's something wrong with that thinking.
Yeah.
You should not be – first of all, you shouldn't be comparing. Okay.
Right.
That's a whole separate thing in itself. But the reality is you shouldn't have somebody underneath you in order for you to feel better about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Amen.
Improper thinking.
Yeah.
That is not the way it should be. And that allows for us to have that crabs in the barrel mentality where we see somebody getting up and we want to pull them back down. Because if it makes you feel good that there's somebody that has greater problems than you, then when you think someone is doing better than you, it's going to make you feel bad and you're going to want to pull them back.
Absolutely.
That is not the Christian way to be. If we are living our lives as though he lives, then we should be able to live our lives excited about the blessings that other people have. I get excited. I think I might have said this before, when I see people around me being blessed, because I know that Jesus is on my street.
Yes. Yes, he's still
in
the business.
He's on my street. And if he's blessed someone with a car and blessed someone with a child and blessed someone with a marriage and blessed someone with a job, you know, when he starts giving people the things that they need, I want to be in the center of all that anointing. I want to be where that stuff is happening because there's some stuff that I need too. And if I can get into a place of joy and happiness and love, I can receive whatever it is that I need. But as long as I'm in a place of frustration, of jelly, of envy, of strife, I cut off my blessings.
Yes, it is.
If you are living there, you cut off your blessings. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It's not talking about the fact that you're going to die. I was just talking to someone about this. It's talking about the fact that spiritually you start
dying.
You start dying. The word in you starts dying and drying up, just like the tree that Jesus cursed. No longer able to bear fruit because it was an imposter. There are many imposters that are sitting in our churches, many imposters that are walking around with collars saying that they are people of God, many imposters that are leading other Christian people, many imposters that are teaching the Word of God. There are many imposters that are calling themselves Christians. There are imposters everywhere. But God says, as he showed us in the Bible, when an imposter is in our midst, he will curse that thing and cause it to dry up.
Right.
Don't be an imposter. Don't be an imposter. Embrace the word. God says to love, not just the people that love you, but love your enemy. He
love
says, what
enemy.
Is the greatest thing that we could do? Love your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So how are you going to be loving people and saying, you know, want to pull them back down when they get blessed? How are you going to be loving people and be okay with the fact that they have less than you and it makes you feel good? That's not love.
No.
That is not
and that's
love.
A great example.
You know, one of the things that I noticed in all the times that I pray for people, pray over people, anoint people, pray, intercede on their behalf, one of the things that I noticed is that the more love I can feel between me and that person, the more quickly it seems that the anointing just takes over.
Right.
So I always make sure when I know that I'm speaking somewhere or I'm going to be in a place, you know, where we're going to be praying for people, I always make sure that I set my mind to be focused on love. I mean, that whole week I'll be focused on love. And let me tell you how hard it is. Because Satan will come at you, oh my God, try to make you frustrated, try to make you angry, little dumb stuff happens, you know, I lock myself out of my house again, you know. the car doesn't act right, or, you know,
right,
your money seems imperfect, or little stupid little things, what they call in the Bible little foxes, those little foxes,
yes,
start getting at you, those little things, you know, they start bothering you. And if you're not careful, if you don't say, you know what, wait a minute, what's going on in my life? Oh, I'm going to be praying for people this week. Okay, I'm just going to ignore all of that. That's what I have
right
to do. Every now and then I have to stop and say, why is all this craziness happening? Oh, I'm gonna be praying for people. And if I don't have
right
something coming up, then I say, you know what? I'm about to bless somebody real good. So I'm going to ignore all of that.
Right.
Because that's what Satan does. This is my example I'm going to give to people of what Satan does. He comes to distract you. All he can do is distract you. He can't do anything to you. All he can do is jump in front of you and make you lose focus. That is all that he can do. That is where his power lies, in his ability to cause you to be distracted. And so how does he do it? He does it by making you angry, frustrated, causing you to be insecure, have envy, all these things that cause ugliness within your spirit. That's what he does. And what Satan will do is that he'll jump up in front of you and wave his hands like a flag, you know? He'll cause a distraction so that you can stop looking where you're supposed to be going and look in the wrong direction and start
mm-hmm
focusing on the wrong thing. And then that thing becomes bigger than what you're supposed to be focused on. That's what he does. And what you
mm-hmm
have to learn to do is to be the master of yourself. And when you see him over there waving his arms, turn your head and look to Jesus and act as
mm-hmm
if he doesn't even exist. Act
sure
as if he's not even there. You know how little kids sometimes they act out and throw tantrums because they want your attention? And
right,
I've seen this. I've done this. When my brother was a little boy and he one day in the supermarket decided he was going to act a fool with me and my mother, and he threw himself down on the floor and started having a temper tantrum, my mom said, come on, Kim, let's go. And we walked right past him.
Right.
We walked
right
right past him. We could hear him. We knew he was all right. We walked right
mm-hmm
past him and kept on shopping and went down the next aisle. And before you know it, he shut up, he got up, and he came and he found us. You
right
see what I'm saying? This is what
you're
you
right
have to do with Satan. Because when you ignore him, he has to stop. And then he has to try a new game. Just remember, he's going to try a new game. It's
mm-hmm
okay. You just keep doing the same thing.
Exactly.
You keep ignoring him. And you keep focused on God. And you keep looking forward. And you keep operating in love. And when you're struggling, you tell God. You tell the Holy Spirit. You talk to Jesus. Say, listen, I'm struggling right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is my midnight. This
mm-hmm
is where I'm struggling right now. This is where my strife is. This is where I'm weak. And where I'm weak, my word tells me that I'll be made strong because you're going to come and you're going to add everything that I need.
Absolutely. And you have given people a ton of useful information with this one, and I want encourage everyone to listen back. We're running out of time.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, you know, and I just want to say if there's any closing remarks you want to emphasize to everyone.
I just want people to be encouraged. Be encouraged. Remember that we're in a season in which we are reminded that our Savior lives. We worship a living Savior. We are
mm-hmm
the only faith that can say that our Savior lives. Buddha died, Muhammad died, a whole lot of people worship a whole lot of things that died, but our Savior, he lives.
Amen.
Okay,
amen. No. Okay, and what else was there to say but amen? I'm like, hello? The spirit got real quiet. I love that. Okay, next show is May the 11th, everyone. Please join us at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. If people want to contact you, could you please let them know where they can reach you at?
Oh, well, you know, of course, I'm on Facebook, Kimberly Cooper Horvath on Facebook. I'm on the Journey Home Ministries page. You can find me there. And, of course, you can always email me at Journey Home Ministries. Again, go to the Journey Home Ministries page, and you can email me right there.
Yeah, www.journeyhomeoutreachministries.org. Thank you so much. It was a blessed lesson, and I hope everyone enjoyed it. Coco Street in the chat room said, great show. I wanted to share that with you.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Bless you.
All right. Bless you, Ms. Pastor Holbeck, and I will talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
We're going to roll out of here like we always roll out of here with How Great Thou Art by Society Hill Music. Here we go.